guys, it's Sherry. What's up? Thank you so much for downloading the third Louder Than Bombs podcast, this time featuring Mr. Dave Hill. Now, this particular podcast is going to be divided into two episodes because it's just chock full of stuff. It's like, you know that movie Heavy Metal that came out like in the early 80s with that wonderful crude animation? I think there was like some graphic depiction of like a heavy metal serpent and like its belly exploded and like it spawned something. And that's what this podcast did. It spawned a second side. So, you know, listen to this one and this is the A side, and then listen to the B side. It's going to be worth your while. You'll learn a lot about Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones. Now, before I go any further, let me just give you like a little disclaimer, and that is that I've known Dave for, I want to say like 4 years. Something like that. And he's always been incredibly sweet and nice to me. He's a nice guy to begin with. I don't think anyone would be like, that guy's a real jerk. But I have what could best be described as like a harmless schoolgirl crush on him. It's always been that way. Like, from the first time I met him, I was like, I have a crush on this guy. Like, if I were in junior high school, it would be acceptable. But at my age, it's kind of embarrassing. Like, when I get around him, I speak English as a second language, it seems. I get kind of, like, I fawn over him. I don't think I think straight. He's like the Clint Eastwood to my Barbara Walters. And if you don't know what that means, like, Google it. Anyway, Dave is a contributor to This American Life. He hosts little interstitial bits on HBO and Cinemax that are really funny. Last year, he wrote an amazing, funny, touching book called Tasteful Nudes, and it's actually coming out in paperback in August, and I would highly recommend it. And not just because I'm having his baby. I'm not. See, this is what I mean. This is that stupid schoolgirl crush stuff happening. It's so uncool. Oh yeah, and he also has an album coming out in August with his band Valley Lodge. And how would I describe them for people who haven't heard them before? I would say it's like a 70s power pop, kind of like, you know, in the same vein as like a Cheap Trick, which is awesome stuff. I mean, it wins me over every time, but I'm going to tack a song on to the end of each of these podcasts so that you can judge for yourselves, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down. It's up to you. Oh, and one last thing. The common thread that kind of binds these two podcasts together is that I administered a Led Zeppelin Rolling Stones quiz to Dave, and I would love it if you guys would take the quiz along with him and then let me know how you did. Like, email me at louderthanbombspodcast@gmail.com or log on to the Facebook page and just let me know, because I just need some kind of like standard of comparison to see how Dave stacked up and whether the questions were that hard or that easy. And how he did might surprise you. Surprised me. Anyway, without any further ado, here's Dave and me talking about a whole lot of different things, including comedy and rock and roll. Enjoy.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, are we podcasting now?
I guess we are officially podcasting. Great. We're in Dave's really cool West Village apartment. It's decorated with lots of guitars and a stuffed deer head and wallpaper, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's canvas, actually.
Oh, nice.
Not to be nitpicky.
Nice.
But just so the listener isn't like, oh, I couldn't wallpaper my apartment. I don't want to think that, so I didn't do it. I just tacked up some fabric.
Oh, you did this yourself? It looks good.
Yeah, I do it all.
Nice. And we're sitting on your bed.
Yes. Which kind of doubles as the couch.
Yeah, I don't want to mislead people.
No, yeah.
That right. Wouldn't be cool.
No.
One of the reasons I was really excited about having you do this is because you have lived both sides of what this podcast is about. You're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And also a personality.
A personality.
You've got a lot.
Yeah. Can't be stopped. I'm failing on many platforms. That's all I like to call it.
Some people who listen to this aren't going to know your background, so maybe you can, you know, or maybe they haven't read your book or seen your
very... Seems crazy.
I know. It's a great book. I read it.
Oh, thanks.
It
came out a year ago today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Has it been everything you wanted it to be?
No. I mean, in that I wanted to have it be successful enough that I would be given another book deal. That was sort of my modest goal for it.
Uh-huh.
And that came true.
Nice.
So I have another book deal. I'm writing another book. So in that way, it's a success. But in terms of it selling a million copies, that hasn't sold. It's sold fine, you know, but not enough. Nothing's ever enough, you know. My goal is to have 3. I would like to write 3. I think 3 is a good number for things.
That's very Asian.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like, with bands, my goal was to always have a band that would make at least 3 records, because I think that's a good amount. And I actually think most bands should never make more than 3 records.
Wow.
So, almost every band I've ever been in has only made 1 record. So, but my current band was just finishing its 3rd record, so.
Congrats.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is Valley Lodge.
That's right. Yep.
Great. And I hope you send me a couple tracks, because I'll stick them on here.
I will, yeah. There's a couple of them done. The whole record's almost done now.
Neat.
It'll be out in August.
Nice.
It's got a lot of hot hits on it.
I listened to a few of them.
They're hot.
They are hot. They're good.
Thanks.
Yeah. No,
they're great. No.
They were great.
No, there's some, I mean, I just do it for my own enjoyment, so I just want to like it. I like some of them.
So if an angel or a fairy godmother came down and said you could have your druthers, you could either be like the coolest, biggest comedian in the world, someone cool, like a Louis C.K. kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
or a rock god like a Jimmy Page, which one would you take?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, with those examples, and this is no offense to Louis C.K., but I mean, Jimmy Page is a god. I mean, Louis C.K. is awesome, don't get me wrong, and wildly successful and hilarious, awesome, super talent. But Jimmy Page is, like, one of my favorite, you know, people that have ever existed. So that, when you phrase it like that, I'd go like, oh, Jimmy Page, but no, I don't know. I just like to, I mean, the thing I like about comedy is, you know, just... I don't really think about anything else when I do it, and I'm doing it. I do it just for my own entertainment, really. I mean, I want other people to laugh, and they have to laugh to a point that I can make a living at it, which is, you know, that so far it's working. Beyond that, I don't know. I just like to do stuff. I just like to entertain myself, basically. So. Whatever I can do so I can just have fun all day, basically. So as long as I can keep doing that, whether it's playing music or doing comedy. But I think realistically, I mean, music is, you know, rock music especially. I think it's changing, but it's, you know, I'm not like looking to jump in a van and tour all over. I've done that enough and I don't want to do it anymore. I would do it, but I'm just not like, I don't envy the, plus like comedians, I think are much more, I would much rather hang out with a bunch of comedians than a bunch of musicians any day.
Really?
Any day of the week. Yeah.
What is that?
I think comedians are just smarter in general. They have a lot more to say, you know, musicians, put it this way, I love musicians. I have friends with them, and I admire a million ton of them, but if I'm doing a comedy show, I'll be inclined to hang out and talk to everybody. But if I'm doing a music show, I probably won't hang out too much, because I just don't want to hang out with the musicians, because most of them just don't have anything to say.
Really?
They're just kind of boring. I mean, I have a lot of very close friends that are musicians, and I play in a lot of bands and stuff. but in general.
Yeah.
Well, comedians, it's like a verbal thing, you know, whereas music, unless you're the singer.
True.
And then the singer's usually an asshole, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love comedians. I've been around them a lot myself, and I guess I like most of them, but, I mean, it seems like sometimes they're always trying to one-up each other. It's a different thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that too. I don't really like, I mean, I don't know, now I'm contradicting myself. Well, I don't know. I feel like the comedians that I'm friends with don't like joke around all that much. They do, but it's not like they're like sitting. I think the comedians that I'm close friends with are pretty serious people a lot of the time.
You know, you strike me as a thinker.
A thinking man, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you really strike me as a guy who, I mean, like, you can rock out.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Like a motherfucker.
Like, for sure. And I mean, I'm looking around your apartment, and I don't know how you can't rock out, because there's a reminder to rock out, like,
yeah,
within arm's reach everywhere.
That's why I have them out. So I can just rock out wherever I am.
But you're also a reader.
Yeah, I read stuff. I like to read.
And you seem disciplined.
Like, in what way?
A disciplined writer.
Yeah, I try. I mean, you have to be. I think if you're going to do it.
Yeah, I need
you have
tell
to
that
do
to
it.
Myself. That's awesome.
Yeah, you gotta sit down and write.
Yeah. I go in spurts.
That's a good way to do it, though.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just good to set a goal for yourself every day.
You do a daily thing?
I try. I mean, it depends what I'm working on, you know? But, like, right now I'm starting a new book, and once I kind of hit the rhythm with that, I'll hit, like, a pretty strict daily discipline.
I love that. God, I'm lacking.
You have to. I mean, yeah. Well, there's a lot of motivations to do it. Like, one, you don't want to be working on something forever. You want to move on to the next thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And with a book, when there's book advances involved, you want the money. And if you don't meet your deadline, you don't get the money. You don't get the next check until you hand it in. So it's kind of like, I want that money.
Because
I need it.
Yeah.
I need it to live, so.
To globetrot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of motivations to being disciplined.
Yeah, all right, that makes sense. My sister's writing a book right now.
Oh, nice.
She got a really big book deal. She's writing a book about Hillary Clinton.
Ooh, that sounds serious.
She's a White House correspondent, so.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so,
for real.
I see her working under the gun. She's never been so stressed out in her entire life.
Understandably, because a lot of people will probably read that book.
Yeah.
Maybe even more people than have read my book, if that's possible.
Maybe about the same.
No, I think she's... I should probably write about Hillary Clinton. More people will read my book.
Just throw in a chapter.
Yeah.
But I just want to go back to something, because I do feel like I made a really weird juxtaposition question to you when I said Jimmy Page or Louis C.K. And it made me think, as you were talking, I mean, I was focused on what you were saying, but there was a part of my mind that was going, is there a comedic equivalent to, like, a Jimmy Page? I mean, is rock this thing where that kind of legend exists, and comedy doesn't have that, or?
I don't know. I mean, comedy is so... Comedy is much harder, for one, than music, I think.
Why?
Once you... Beyond the point of writing, you know, and that, you know, whether you're a good writer or a bad writer musically or comedy or whatever, but the performing is much harder, obviously, for, I think, comedy, because you... Like, a band can show up and play to the bartender and rock out and have fun, and you look at your friend, the drummer, and, hey, what's up? But comedy, you need the audience, and that's a big part of what you're doing, is the audience, whether it's 3 people or 300 or 3,000 or whatever, I don't know.
Interesting.
You know, whereas music, you can sit and stare at your feet all night if you want.
Really? I mean,
there's a lot
of
bands
that
do that.
Like,
you do, but, I mean, not everyone does. I mean, look at, you know, there's an aesthetic with young bands now that I think is really pathetic. Where, you know, these bands, they're kind of all wear their guitars really high, and they kind of, like, act like, you know, they seem like they don't know how to fuck. The whole point of rock and roll, it maybe not overtly, but there has to be that element of, like, I'm going to fuck you. You know?
Yeah.
In music, you know, that's the subtext of all of it, really. It doesn't matter who or what it is, and, you know, what, you know, anyone who's ever been any good definitely puts it out there that they're going to fuck somebody. And ideally, you want to put it out there that you're going to fuck everybody. You know? Yeah. But these bands today, these young whippersnappers, you know, that stand up there and have their, and they don't look like they could fuck anybody.
It's really true.
You know, they just seem like, they don't have anything to offer.
That is, yeah, I totally agree with you. I just can't believe you said that, because as you were talking about it, I was like, they look like they have little fragile penises. That's yeah. what was going on in my mind when you were...
Well, I think, you know, it's an interesting thing. I think it's a broader... I think there's a whole thing with men, especially, of a certain... in their 20s into, like, you know, maybe even, like, early 30s. A lot of them of this certain time are, they're boys, and they'll always be... And it's not a thing... of a thing where they'll be older and it's like everyone when they were 25 was a boy. It's something with these current, this current crop of guys. They're boys now and they'll be boys when they're 60 years old. They'll always be boys. The majority, not all of them. You know, there's exceptions for sure. But the majority of them are impotent, little boys with little non-functioning penises.
I agree.
Absolutely.
That's...
There's some exceptions, but by and large. And it comes out in art, I think, in a huge way, in music, you know? I think, and not to be, like, caveman about it, but, like, men, like, you should think that, you know, the band, that you could think, like, oh, they're gonna fuck somebody. And a man should be, like, you should feel like they have your back. Like, if you're walking down the street with a man of any size, you should know that, like, he would take a bullet for you. But most of these guys are pussies, and they wouldn't ever. And it comes out in their sucky music.
That's, I mean, it's kind of like band as a gang.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. A band should be a gang.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing it right.
Totally.
I mean, it gets harder. And I mean, if you're a young band, you should totally, you know, and there's even this whole thing, like, of, you know, where it's not cool to be really good at your instrument. It's like, that's fucking lame.
Agreed.
There's some bands that, like, I think the Strokes are a good example. I mean, and they're now at the point where they're a little, maybe just a year or two outside of this age range that I'm talking about, but those guys... from day one, great musicians,
mm-hmm.
then great songs, and they got on stage and were like, we're gonna fuck people.
It's true.
And, you know, but a lot of bands don't put that out there.
It's true. And I mean, I remember when they came out.
Yeah, they've been around like for a while now.
Yeah, they've been around, like, what, 12 years?
Something like that.
But when they did come out, it caused a sensation because people weren't used to seeing bands that had, like, that level of, like, I don't know how legit it was, but kind of like that street smart toughness.
Yeah, and swagger. Like,
swagger.
They're gonna get their fuck on.
Yeah, totally.
That's what rock and roll is. Whether, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, the lyrics don't have to say that or whatever. I mean, from anything, even to, like, women folk music. Like, like there has to be an undercurrent of getting your fuck on. For the music to... I mean, the Smiths, one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yeah.
You know, Morrissey, you know, but people are like, oh, he's asexual, or, you know, whatever, or gay, or, you know, from day one, like this guy is all about fucking. No matter what he's saying, to the contrary, like, he's putting a major fuck vibe out there.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had a sexuality about him that, like, was perceptible.
Yeah, and most of these bands today don't have that at all. And they're like, I think part of it is like, maybe it's a time when they were raised, you're raised to equate sexuality and masculinity as being the same thing as misogyny and chauvinism. And it's all been lumped together, so they've been taught to be emasculated and impotent, and that's why they can't fuck or play the guitar.
That's a grad thesis right there.
I think it's true. I mean, they're like fighting words, but it's okay that they're fighting words, because anyone who would be offended by that, I know I could kick their ass, so I'm not worried about it. You know?
Cool. You know what? I was really excited. I asked you what your favorite bands were, and three of the five that you listed are bands that I really, really love. Two of the five are all-time favorites.
Okay.
The Smiths and the Rolling Stones are my two, like, well, there's like a trinity, like the Velvet Underground also. So it's the Velvet Underground, the Smiths and the Stones are like it for me.
Yeah.
But my best friend growing up is a huge Led Zeppelin fan. Huge. And we had this weird rivalry thing going. Like, I mean, we weren't just like fans. We were like people who looked for bootlegs and, you know, bought imports and
super fans,
you know. And it was kind of weird because they were like already like middle-aged by the time we were like into them. But
who,
still,
Led Zeppelin?
Well, Led Zeppelin was like disbanded.
Yeah, they broke up like in 1980.
Yeah, but we still like carried the torch in a major way. And, you know, like, we both had this, like, grudging appreciation for the other's, like, favorite band. Mm-hmm. But we were still constantly kind of like, well, you know, Keith Richards versus Jimmy Page and, like, John Bonham versus Charlie Watts kind of thing. And I don't want to hear your answer. Like, I see the things turning in your brain. And
oh, I mean, there's ties, both of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because I kind of felt like you were going to say Jimmy Page, John Bonham.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, you're talking about all total badasses.
True.
I mean, Charlie Watts is a fucking badass. Maybe the biggest badass alive.
That's what I've heard.
I mean, across the fucking board. I mean, one of the best drummers in the world, but equally important, one of the best dressers in the world.
That's true. Like, it's
so,
very, like,
if you're gonna be great at two things, those are two pretty great things, I think.
I see you trying to work that.
I'm not trying, I'm succeeding.
You're succeeding. You could have dressed up for me a little more today.
Well, I just came from my Shaolin temple.
That's
so
fine.
I'm sweaty.
And it's not a day to dress up.
Every day is a day to dress up.
God.
You look great.
Thank you. Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm all sweaty and gross.
No.
Okay, really? Like, am I working it in any way?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better.
It's great.
Okay, good. Keith Richards, he's my style icon. Like, when I dress.
Yeah, you have a scarf. He's got a good thing going.
To me, my two style icons are Keith Richards and Joan Jett. And Joan Jett kind of derived her thing from Keith Richards anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are good people to map yourself.
Yeah. Who's yours?
I mean, style-wise.
Thank you.
I don't think I have any, like, one style. There's, you know, I cherry pick. But I mostly, you know, the Kinks, Charlie Watts. I like English clothes, so probably English bands that wear English clothes, I'll copy from them.
Good. That's awesome.
Yeah. English clothes are the best tailored.
Do you have a tailor in London that you go to and...
No, I mean, I just buy from most of the stuff I wear is from London. Just because I go there. Or, I mean, I buy it here, but it's London-based stuff.
Yeah. I can tell.
It's just better. If you go to London and walk down the street and you see the way men are dressed, they're dressed infinitely better than here.
Yes.
I mean, people dress like shit in America compared to London.
Men really know how to groom there.
Yeah, they just, they know, I mean, they've been doing it for longer, you know?
Yeah, I think I told you I lived there, and I used to just jump from office to office, and I was just so delighted with, like, how dressed up the boys were.
Yeah, I mean, the average dude walked by, like, a bar at happy hour, and everyone's decked out in, like, a properly tailored suit.
It's true.
Whereas in America, there, most men look like they don't pick out their own clothes.
Yeah, truth.
Yeah. You know, sad.
It is sad. But, I mean, I see you wearing, like, a lot of suits, like a lot of velvet blazer type things sure. going on. That's a good look.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah. Keep rocking it.
Well, velvet's good because, you know, people want to touch it. And then they're walking up to you and they're touching you and half your work is done. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're halfway there if they're already touching you.
But they might just be petting you.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. And then, you've got an inviting vibe, so don't... Anyway, so getting back to the Stones Led Zeppelin thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my friend that these were two of your favorite bands.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to kind of give you like a little Stones Led Zeppelin quiz.
Okay.
Are you up for it?
Yeah. You know, Zeppelin in general, I'm pretty encyclopedic about.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And the Stones
well,
too?
So I say now, and then look, you know, we'll see how I do.
These are easy, though. I mean, you're going to get them. Because if I could get them, the Led Zeppelin side.
Sure.
Okay. What famous musician purportedly came up with the name Led Zeppelin?
Keith Moon.
Yeah, that was an easy one, right?
Yeah.
All right. What Yardbird song turned into Dazed and Confused?
Ooh. I don't know. I don't think I know.
Oh, man. It's a Yardbird song called I'm Confused. And if you listen to it, which I recently did, it's exactly the same.
The same riff?
Same exact riff. Just Robert Plant changed the lyrics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Are you impressed?
Yeah.
I'm glad. Like, basically, I should just say this. We actually had to run our questions by each other to make sure they were equally weighted.
Those are good questions so far.
Thank you. Well, the first
one. I can't believe I got one wrong already.
In the live film, the song remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one member of the band who's wearing different clothes, like, through the film. Who is it, and why?
I believe John Bonham changes to go driving, right?
No. In the live footage. Not
in the
like,
live
not
footage.
Not in the fantasy sequences.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. I mean, does Jimmy Page change into his dragon costume at some point?
It's Jimmy Page. You're right.
And that's...
It's because they filmed it over 3 nights.
Oh, and, at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, and for continuity, they asked the band to wear the same clothes, but he just...
He was like, fuck it.
He was like, fuck it.
Yeah,
he worked I'm a man.
Yeah, yeah.
I can fuck, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give that one to you, because you did guess Jimmy Page.
Yeah, I mean, I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. You got it, you got it.
Well, I mean, sort of.
Yeah, you got it. All right. When Jimmy Page first heard Robert Plant sing... He was blown away.
Mm-hmm.
But he was worried about something. What was he worried about?
Oh. Maybe that he was too young? No, that he wouldn't quit his other band?
Is that going to be your final answer?
Maybe that he was too young.
That's a good guess.
Because he was like 18 or something.
It's a really good guess.
What was he worried about?
He worried that he was a dick. Because,
oh.
Yeah, according to legend...
Mm-hmm.
He was so blown away by how great a singer he was.
Uh-huh.
He just couldn't believe that another band hadn't, like, snapped him up seriously.
Oh, so he's like, he must be a prick.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when a guy isn't married, has never been married by a certain age, people are like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy?
Have you ever been married?
A lot of times. No.
Well... It's just that you like to rock. That's the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. How many different album covers are there for In Through the Outdoor?
I mean, I think two, right? Because there's the brown paper bag and then there's the actual cover.
That's a really good answer.
It's not right.
But it's a really good answer because, I mean, you could technically say the brown paper bag. There's 6 different covers,
oh.
Like, when you take the bag off.
Really?
Yeah. Just different facets of that room.
Wait, so, like, if you bought six different... There's six different copies you could have?
Yeah. If you collected them on vinyl.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And wow. Then, yeah, it's very cool, actually.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Do you have vinyl?
I have some, but I don't have a record player at the moment. People send me or give it to me, but it's just it's around at the moment.
If you had your choice, though, do you prefer vinyl or digital?
I don't really care, to be honest. I have that $30 CD player over there that I bought 10 years ago from Kmart, and I would much rather just put a CD in there and listen to it than put on my iTunes, because there's something about listening to music on your computer or your iPod, which I think, first, shuffle mode, and you no longer are listening things in the sequence that the artist intended.
True.
And there's the impulse to skip through stuff, you know, whereas if I put a CD on, I don't really skip. I just put it on and let it play.
Nice.
So, same with vinyl. If I were to do that, which I, you know, only if I'm at someone else's house, I'm not going to skip around too much. I just leave it on. So, whatever format, I'm just putting the music on and leaving it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm into.
There's a lot of sense in that. I have a turntable at home, and I listen occasionally to vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, whenever I do, I realize that I miss the little crackles, and I don't know.
Yeah, there's like a ritual to it. And like, I remember, yeah, putting on records as a kid and stuff. And I think you lose that with digital.
Yeah.
That whole thing. But there's a convenience too.
Yeah.
You know, an iPod.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing also is the sides. Like, that's another thing, because when a lot of these, like, classic albums came out, they were thought of as sides. Like, you know, you think about Sticky
classic
Fingers and, you
know, Side One. Yeah, not only the sequence, but the sides.
Yeah.
You know, what's the closing song of Side One?
Exactly.
What's going to come out with Guns Blazing on Side Two?
Right, yeah, you what's know? That opening it's track?
Different,
yeah.
Thing.
Right? Very true.
Yeah.
People are missing out when you really think about
it. Yeah, totally.
Well, I mean, I was just talking to Chris Gethard last week, and he's a huge Smiths fan.
Yeah.
Which I am too, and you are also.
Yeah.
And he was saying how he loves listening to, like, a Smiths record from beginning to end,
mm-hmm.
and he'll never skip a track.
Yeah.
But when we listen to Morrissey, we do skip tracks.
Well, you know, I was just having
this
conversation.
What's his birthday today?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Morrissey's...
What's he, 51?
52 or 53.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, the thing with the Smiths is they don't have any bad songs.
It's true.
You know, arguably, in my opinion, the only one that I'd say is maybe skippable is Golden Lights, which is a cover anyway.
Yeah, we were saying that too.
And still pretty good, but yeah, Morrissey's batting average is, you know, I'd say he's batting about 300.
I would probably agree with you.
You know, and I love Morrissey. I mean, like, I think he's great, both with the Smiths and as a solo artist. My only beef with him, well, I guess it's several beefs, is when you go see him, his confidence in his lesser material is really troubling. Like, he'll just break out some fucking song that you're like, what the fuck are you playing this for? Why? Or like, here, I'm gonna play all of, not my new album, but the one before that, you know, only had three good songs on it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, he has made so many albums, he could just, and it's stunning to me that he breaks out a hit, one of his own or a Smith songs, people go fucking crazy.
I know.
And then to feel that difference, why isn't he just like, oh, I want to make people go fucking crazy every song? And he's completely capable of doing that with his set list, but he doesn't. And then the other thing is, his band, he gets these, I think he picks, with the exception of Boz Bohr, you know, everyone else seems to be in the band based on their being like sort of a young, pretty boy.
Oh.
They're not the best band. They're not the best players, I don't think.
God, I mean, I've seen him live a couple times. I didn't pick that up, but I trust you on this.
I just feel like they're kind of ham-fisted, not really that good players. He could have better players, more interesting players.
I feel like he doesn't... This is just me editorializing, but my impression of him, has always been that he didn't care about the music so much as, like, getting what he had off his chest, like, whatever thoughts or feelings that he had off his chest. And, I mean, I love his lyrics. I do. I'm a huge Smiths fan, again. I'm not trying to diss him, but the thing that makes the Smiths great to me is Johnny Marr. It's my all-time favorite guitar player.
He's sweet.
He is sweet. But you gotta hand it to him. He took the lyrics, amazing shit that was coming out of Morrissey at the time.
Yeah.
And made it into, you know, gold legendary. Dust.
All right, so here's where we pause, and you can join us again on the B side of this little chat I had with Dave Hill. That podcast is also posted today. And before I go, I just want to thank a few people. I want to thank Dave, obviously. And also I want to thank Mina Sajwani, my producer, Thomas Appleton, who's just been a whiz with all my technical questions these past few weeks. It's been amazing. Thank you. Lauren Vassell, who did all the graphic design. And Ursula 1000, who did the amazing theme music that you hear at the beginning of the show. Now we're going to play a track from Valley Lodge's upcoming album. It's called All of My Lovin'. Enjoy, and I hope to see you on the B-side. Bye. 1-800-201-3525. No espere más. La llamada que va a hacer ahora le puede salvar la vida.